The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. We're diving headfirst into this month's episode of Tech Tips by heading right into the kitchen. Everyone has a place at the table. That's the motto behind the Blind Kitchen. Today, we are talking with chef and founder Deborah Erickson about her passion, the Blind Kitchen. Thanks for talking with us today, Deborah.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So the Blind Kitchen is a pretty neat thing, and we're going to get into it. But first, want to find out a little bit about you. Who is Chef Deborah Erickson?
I am a culinary school graduate. I was the only blind student in the class. And at my day job, I work as a vocational rehabilitation instructor at the Oregon Commission for the Blind. The Blind Kitchen came to be because I love to teach cooking, and that's what I was doing when COVID came. So then all of a sudden, I had a year and a half to sit there and twiddle my thumbs because I couldn't teach cooking, but I wanted to. And so that's kind of who I am and how the Blind Kitchen came to be.
It is amazing how something like the pandemic has just, it got all these people to the point where they are reexamining what they were doing and what could they do now that they were stuck at home. All these new ideas and programs and everything that came out of the pandemic, it's a good thing for a lot of people. I hate to say it that way, but, you know, that's the only way I can think of to say it.
No, that makes sense. I mean, there's generally two sides to every story, including COVID.
So how did you translate your own personal experiences into the Blind Kitchen?
I was diagnosed when I was 28 with retinitis pigmentosa. And although there were signs of it when I was 17, they found it in an old optometry report. But I lost my vision slowly over time. And eventually it came to a time where I really wasn't functioning well anymore. And I wasn't a great cook. I need to put that out there. I'm one of 12 children. My mother cooked in large batches. We didn't cook along with her. Sometimes we'd have to peel potatoes and shuck corn. Sound like Indiana?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So we would help her prepare the ingredients, but she did all the cooking. When I would cook, I would make things like mashed potatoes, and sometimes they'd turn out perfect, and then the next time they'd just be a gummy mess because I didn't understand the concept of starches and overdoing things. I thought stirring was a good thing no matter what. I ended up getting to the point where I was hurting myself and apologizing to garbage cans and shopping carts and stuff like that when I ran into them, thinking it was a person. And so I took my training at the Oregon Commission for the Blind, cane training, learned Braille, learned how to use my phone without any vision at all, computers using JAWS. And one of my classes was a cooking class. And I was completely under blindfold in that cooking class. And I knew when I went to the commission, I needed to get a job. In order to receive those services, you have to be preparing to become employed. And I knew I wanted to teach, and I knew I wanted to teach adults. I'd done that in the past. And so when I was learning these blind skills of cooking, a light bulb went on in my head, and I thought, I could teach this. And then I thought, oh, no, I don't know how to teach this. I've never really learned. I mean, she was teaching me the blind skills of it, but the art and science and history and chemistry of cooking, I hadn't. So I decided to go to culinary school so I could have an organized program. I'm very skills-based, and I didn't know how to arrange the learning objectives in a meaningful way, an organized way. So culinary school taught me how to do that. And so that's how I ended up here. Now I am a good cook, but partly that's because I know don't overmix the mashed potatoes. They're not going to get better.
When it comes to the teaching side of it, did you kind of have to teach yourself how to teach, or did you already have experience with that?
I do have experience teaching. I actually taught at San Jose State. I taught professional writing. Okay. And really liked, I didn't want to deal with the discipline problems of children and the motivation and all that. With adults, they're paying to be there. And so you kind of get to get around that roadblock. But that's how I knew I really loved to teach. And I taught mediation in my job when I was in healthcare. peer-to-peer mediation, and really have always enjoyed that.
Okay. So what exactly is the Blind Kitchen, and how does it help the blind community cook and prepare food?
The Blind Kitchen is an online presence only. We don't have a brick-and-mortar storefront. And what we do is we provide adaptive culinary tools and cooking strategies for people with vision loss who like to cook. And I think it's important here to point out that we don't do cooking lessons. That is a little more difficult, especially if you're doing it remotely. And it's certainly, I'm trying to wrap my head around it. But for now, most of our patrons are people who knew how to cook, and then they, through vision loss, maybe macular degeneration or glaucoma, and now all of a sudden they can't get back. They used to cook for the holidays and special events for their families, and now they can't. And truthfully, you lose part of your identity. That's an important part. That's how you show your love to your family and your friends. I've heard so many times that people are like, wow, I didn't think I could get back in the kitchen with sharp knives and hot surfaces without burning myself or cutting myself. And the Blind Kitchen, there's no one answer for everyone. There are probably four right answers for every question, but we try and get as much information and as many adaptive tools to help people learn that they can get back and learn which tools and which strategies are the best for them.
So you talk about the tools and everything. How did you come up with the tools?
A lot of research. And I have to say about 90% of the tools in the Blind Kitchen are not meant for blind or visually impaired people. But because of culinary school and actually just cooking in my own kitchen, I had problems I needed to solve. I needed to be able to do things efficiently. So sometimes it could be something as simple as a wooden spoon. Use a long-handled one. And the reason for that is, one, it can't drop down in the pot. It has to lean on the side. And it's horrible if you ever dropped a spoon in, like, bubbling liquid spaghetti sauce. And, you know, it's dangerous to try and get it out. So that avoids it. The other reason it's nice if it's long and hanging above the pan is then you can hover above the pan and you can locate the wooden spoon first before you come in contact with the hot metal. And then the other thing is, wood does not conduct heat. So you can leave the spoon in the pan. So instead of having the dripping as you bring it across the counter to get to your spoon rest and the dripping when it comes back, you can leave it in there for most foods. And so it's something as simple as that. That spoons, I hate to say it to you, but spoons were not invented for blind people only.
Oh, yeah.
They were invented. But if you get the right model, like with a longer handle, all of a sudden it becomes a very adaptive tool.
It's really funny to me how you can take something, you know, as mundane as a wooden spoon that you would never think that a person who's visually impaired would make their life so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all around us, but yet they weren't specifically made for the visually impaired community.
Exactly right. And that's what the Blind Kitchen has done, is people were having problems with spoons dropping in pans and stuff like that. So you just start thinking and coming up with different ways.
Most definitely. We are talking with Deborah Erickson today of the Blind Kitchen, and you're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. What I love about the Blind Kitchen is that you've divided the tools up into different kits to help people get started so they don't, you know, jump in off the deep end. Let's talk about the four different kits. What are the kits and what do they include?
Okay. You're talking about the four primary collections, and those are often purchased by assistive technology lending libraries so that they have one piece of everything. So the Blind Kitchen started out with 62 adaptive tools divided into the four collections. The first collection is called the Kitchen Basics Collection, and it has things to do with measuring and portioning and having a clean work area. The second is the Cutting and Chopping Collection, and the majority of the tools are related to safe cutting and chopping. The third one is the Stovetop Collection, and that has tools related to cooking methods commonly performed on top of a stove. And the fourth collection is the Oven Collection. Most of its equipment has to do with cooking methods commonly performed inside of an oven or under a broiler.
Awesome. You've hinted at this before, that the Blind Kitchen is all virtual. Once somebody purchases a kit or purchases a tool, what kind of training can they expect?
When a person makes a purchase of a tool, and I'll tell you one of them that is a crowd pleaser, it's called the Auto Measure Spout. And if you choose that there is a video on the website called the Auto Measure Spout where you learn what it is, what it does, why it's blind friendly, and how to use and care for it. And if you decide to put that into your cart, it's going to come to you in a package, its own package, that's labeled both in large print and braille. So you'll know what it is. And if you get it and you say, I can't remember, you know, it was 4 days ago when I ordered this, then you can go back on the website and watch the video. And I'll tell you what this one does. It's kind of fun. So it's a little spout. It's about 3 inches tall and maybe an inch in diameter. And it's a spout that has a collar on it. And what you do is you put it on top of a bottle of any liquid you want to. I put mine on my olive oil. And when I take that bottle of olive oil and I turn it upside down over the pan or the recipe bowl that I want it to go in, it'll dispense exactly 1 tablespoon of oil and stop by itself. I can hold it upside down till the cows come home. And it'll still not dispense another tablespoon unless I put the bottle upright again and then turn it upside down again. It's a real game changer. Again, not made for blind people, but it is a tool that allows you to dispense a predetermined amount of liquid using only one hand. So that leaves your other hand available to see for you, to find where where your target dish is. That's how it works. You get the item, it's in large print and braille, and there's an associated video that teaches you how to use it and care for it.
That is so cool.
I need to cover things.
Yeah.
You won't get that on
it. Yeah, no kidding. So let me ask a question. You mentioned a bottle of olive oil specifically. Does it fit other bottles as well, like other size spouts?
No, it only fits one size spout. So all olive oil bottles are different cans or bottles or wide mouths or narrow. I know the branding of one that does work, but what I've done in my kitchen is I have half wine bottles and I just clean off the paper and it works really handy.
In addition to that, another thing I've noticed when I was going through the website are the measuring cups.
Yeah, so we have wet measure cups and spoons, and we have a different style for measuring dry ingredients. And you're talking about the wet ones.
Yeah.
And they're stainless steel. So you probably have a set like them in their house, so you've probably seen it, but you haven't seen the wet ones. All of the measuring cups have raised stainless steel dots on them. If I'm holding a handle and it has 4 raised dots on it, it's not braille. It just means it's a quarter cup or a quarter teaspoon. If it has 3, it's going to be a third of a cup. If it has 2, it's going to be a half a cup or a half a teaspoon. So those dots will never come off because they're part of the handle. But with the wet measure system, I'll talk about the spoons. It's really hard to measure wet ingredients without spilling them or overflowing the spoon. And stuff like vanilla, vanilla is very expensive right now and you don't want to waste it. So what we've done in the blind kitchen is we have the handles of those wet measure spoons are up towards the ceiling. They're upwards, not flat like a pan. They're up towards the ceiling. So that makes them more like a soup ladle. And if you think about it, soup ladles are that shape and design because they're meant to efficiently carry loads of liquid that a flatter spoon can't do that well. You're going to take 10 trips as opposed to 1. And so that's what we modeled it after. So we also send a small spouted pitcher. It's about 3 inches tall, 1.5 inches wide. And so when I take that teaspoon, let's say I need a teaspoon of vanilla, and it's got a rounded bottom. So I can't just set that on the counter because it's going to tip over. But if I put inside the small spouted pitcher, now it can stand up because like the wooden spoon example, it can't fall down. So now I'm hands-free again. And the way I used to pour vanilla, I'd hold the teaspoon in my hand, one hand, and the other hand, I'd pour a little bit because I didn't want to waste it. And then I'd check. Pour a little bit more, check, and I almost always wasted at least a few drops, if not more. Now I'm going to take that vanilla bottle, and I'm going to put it inside that little spouted pitcher where the teaspoon is standing up, and I'm going to submerge the teaspoon. No more pouring and checking. What I'm going to do is just make sure that spoon is completely submerged, so that way when I lift it like a ladle to transfer it to my target bowl, I'm going to be able to, first of all, I'm going to know it's full because it was just under liquid level. And also, if I don't hear anything dropping, I'm going to know it's exactly 1 level teaspoon. And then I'll empty it. But now I've got a little pitcher that has probably more than a teaspoon of liquid still left in it. Well, we also send you a special funnel. It's about 5 inches high. and about 3 inches of a very thin neck. So it'll fit in those, the tiniest of vanilla bottles. It'll fit right in there. And because it's a funnel, instead of trying to use that, direct that liquid using the spout of the pitcher back to the little mouth of the bottle, now you've got about a 3-inch target because it's a funnel. And so you can dump it in very quickly and throw the funnel and the spoon in the sink, put the lid back on the bottle, and you know you have the accurate measurement and you haven't wasted anything.
That is so cool. And, you know, speaking as someone who has spilled tons of stuff in the kitchen, you know, where has that been all my life? I want to talk training for just a little bit because you've hinted at this before, and I've done a little bit of research and I've watched some of the videos. Tell us a little bit about the training from the website and how it is used by the end user.
So the videos are short tutorials. We've been very careful to make sure that they have sound with them. They're not silent and there's not music playing because that doesn't help us very much.
No, it doesn't.
Silent movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So when I'm not talking, let's say I'm concentrating on cutting or doing something, then we have a professional man. He's got a beautiful voice and he comes in and describes what I'm doing. He comes in after the video is all shot and edited and he does the audio description. And if you click onto the website, I think you'll love my intro. It's 6 colorful muffins that form the Braille letters TBK. But it's so well articulated and the music behind it is wonderful. I think you'll get a kick out of it.
It was very neat to watch because one of my biggest pet peeves about videos for advertising or talking about something for the visually impaired community is that it's either music and text on it or there's no audio description on it. So anytime I see hear audio description in a video, I go, oh, I've got to call these people out on it and praise them for doing it because it is something that I don't see a lot of when I'm doing research.
Right. It's a problem. I agree.
It is really neat, and thank you for doing the audio description. It's incredible. So I noticed on the website that you also have a section called recipes, and as someone who is always looking for something new to cook or at least attempt to cook, could you tell us about that section of the website?
One of my biggest challenges in culinary school was recipe reading. I wasn't allowed to have a tablet. If you put cellophane over your phone, it really doesn't work. It can work for people with vision, but with the touch screen, it kept going back. It kept losing its focus and going back to the eye. It just did not work for me. And I couldn't take a computer or a tablet or anything. So the Disabled Student Services helped me to come up with this because I didn't know this tool existed, was a Victor Reader Stream. Yep. And what with that is I will type out a document. So in a normal recipe, it'll give you the ingredients and the amount that you need, and then it'll give you the instructions. So it'll say like egg, flour, and sugar. That's 1 cup of flour, 2 eggs, and 1/2 cup of sugar. But then when you get down to the recipe, it'll say mix the flour, sugar, and eggs. And I've got to go backwards, backswipe upwards to find what that was, what the amounts were. So what I do is I take them and transfer them into the recipe. So if the recipe says mix 2 eggs, sugar, and flour, you're going to see 2 eggs. You're going to see 1 cup of flour. I just repeat it. The other thing I do is I break the recipes down into the logical order. So for example, if I'm making some type of, let's say, chicken with spinach or chicken with vegetables, I am going to fabricate the vegetables and produce before I do the chicken, because the chicken's going to be potentially bacteria filled. And I want to get the other stuff out of the way. So I'm not working around that. So I also insert the tool from the Blind Kitchen or if we don't carry it, whoever does, I will definitely put a link in there to let people know what tool would be useful for that step, and then they know where to get it.
With regards to the recipe section, are you always adding to it?
I'm terribly remiss at that. I'm behind on it, but we plan, there's not many there, but we plan to add more. And I actually had one of our patrons submit a recipe, and I need to format it in the Blind Kitchen format and get that up. So we appreciate if people send us recipes that they would like to see to share because they just enjoy it, or that they would like translated into the Blind Kitchen format, which is very, very blind friendly.
And that was going to be my next question, was do you accept submissions from people who have used the Blind Kitchen.
Absolutely do.
That is awesome. And I'm glad to hear that the patrons do have the opportunity to submit recipes and contribute to the website and thereby contribute to the community.
Well, Chris, I'm so glad you brought that up, because vision loss can be very isolating. It's intimidating to get out in social situations where you don't know where the bathroom is and you don't know, you know, who's there. You can't really start a conversation if you can't make eye contact. Mm-hmm. It takes a while to get used to it and learn your way in the world with vision loss. So in the Blind Kitchen, we want to use this platform to unite people with vision loss around cooking. Everybody has to eat. Cooking's related to holidays. It's related to culture. It's related to religion. It's related to memories. And so we absolutely encourage people to reach out and share their recipes with us, or share if maybe you've solved a problem that I have not been able to solve yet. And one of my problems that I get asked about is how to spread like thick food like peanut butter and mayonnaise without using your fingers, you know, to be the drywall. And I haven't figured that one out yet. But we have had people write in. You can write in through the website or write to info@theblindkitchen.com and tell us if you have a solution for things. Somebody just wrote to me on how to poach eggs. The other thing is you, if you would submit your challenges, that would be great. Maybe we already have an answer we could point you to, or maybe you just gave us an opportunity to solve a problem that a lot of other people face but haven't reached out. You never know how your contribution might change another person's cooking experience.
Oh, definitely. And these days, it doesn't take anything to set up a knowledge base on a website.
We're already there, Chris. It's the Blind Kitchen Library, okay. And it's on the website, and it has 11 categories right now, but we're adding a 12th. But the categories are all related to cooking. And we all know that cooking doesn't begin or end in the kitchen. You have to be able to shop for your ingredients and supplies. You have to be able to find them once you get them home. How do you know what's in that closed container? And so the categories are things like organizing your kitchen and pantry, labeling things. Some of them are simple as a rubber band, putting a rubber band around one can and not the other so you know which is which. You just have to remember which one the rubber band's on. Some of them are related to adaptive tools, and some of them are related to things that are around your house. The other one are dining out, entertaining in your home, cleaning. Yeah, just all different kinds of things. But we're adding a 12th category by request, and it's just in time for summer and Father's Day. Well, Mother's Grill too. But it's the barbecue and grilling collection. And that's going to happen. We're putting it together now, getting the photographs done and stuff. But it's going to be a really good one. Where if your mother or father like to grow outside and now they can't figure out how to do it, this is a bunch of stuff to keep them safe. It's got a talking thermometer. It's got long over your forehand heat resistant gloves. It's got a longer utensil to help you flip a burger. It's called a double spatula. It's kind of a cross between tongs and a spatula, but it allows you to hang on to the food as you flip it instead of just flipping it into where you hope it'll go. So there's quite a few really good things in that collection. And yeah, going back, that's the Blind Kitchen Library. If you have questions, go in there, go under the category and that you're looking for your answers in, and maybe we'll have something there. If you don't find it, let us know and we'll see what we can find out about it.
And I am suddenly as giddy as a schoolgirl over the grilling out section. that is awesome. I'm definitely going to be checking that out.
Well, good. I hope you find something you can use, or at least some tips you can use.
I know I will. I am not worried about that one bit in the least. We are talking with Deborah Erickson of The Blind Kitchen, and you're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. We've touched on this a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it anyway, and that is, earlier you were talking about the four different kinds of kits and how each one is divided up into a specific grouping within the kitchen. If someone wants to purchase just an individual or two or three individual tools, is that possible?
It is possible. When I opened this business, I thought we were going to be selling the collections by themselves. And surprise to me, more than 90% of our sales are for individual items. But we didn't have very many of them on the shelves because I was kind of just guessing at which ones people might be interested in. But people are all over the place. You never know what people are going to buy. So we're getting them on the shelves individually as fast as we can. But there is a collection that I am especially fond of, and it's called the 12-item sampler. And it has like that auto measure spout that we spoke of earlier that dispenses. It's got a boil alert disc. It's got a bunch of handy little items that most of which aren't available on the shelves yet, but that's a real nice beginning collection. And it's under $100. I think it's $79.99.
So let's kind of jump to the next part about this. If someone is interested in purchasing the tools, purchasing the kits, learning more about the Blind Kitchen, what is the best way for them to do that?
They can go to the website, theblindkitchen.com. And it is very accessible to screen readers. I don't have any pop-up ads to change the focus of the cursor.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm a JAWS user. Oh, it makes me crazy. Yeah, so it's very accessible. They can go and learn and watch the videos. There's a couple of overview videos. Or they can, if they want to communicate with me, they can write to info@theblindkitchen.com. And that's a real good way to connect up with me.
Awesome. So once someone has ordered a kit or, you know, purchased some tools, how long does it usually take them to receive it?
I want to point out that we're located in Portland, Oregon, so we don't have a state retail tax, so there won't be any taxes. And we mail free matter for the blind, and that comes with tracking now. It's normally used to take like between 8 and 10 days. People are averaging 3 to 4 days.
And I guess my last official question is, what does the future look like for the blind for you and the Blind Kitchen?
Well, as alluding back to what I mentioned before about becoming a place for people to meet and mingle, I would love to do cook-alongs where I email out the ingredients that you'll need for, you know, a recipe in 2 weeks. And then we somehow, I'm not a tech person, but I've got some good people working for me that to arrange a cook-along where we all cook together. The other thing is cooking lessons. I really would like to provide cooking lessons to people that don't know how to cook next. It's possible. I mean, people did remote cooking lessons during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that, but my coworker did. So it's a little bit more difficult when you have, if I can't see what you're doing while I'm teaching you. And that would happen if I had cooking lessons online. I wouldn't be able to see you. Maybe you'd have to have an attendant with you when you're first learning the cutting skills. There's a way to do it, but I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like yet. But that is definitely in the future, as well as more collections around people's interest areas. Pie collection is probably going to be the next one, the pie baking.
It's like you read my mind. So is there anything else that I may have missed that you would like to mention?
No, I think you've been very comprehensive, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to share this new resource with people. Thank you very much. I think that's it.
Thank you for your time. It is much appreciated. And, you know, I've had a blast. It's been my pleasure doing this because I am all about getting the word out for people who are visually impaired on stuff that's out there. And it is, you know, I appreciate your time.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
I want to thank Chef Deborah Erickson one more time for joining us today. To learn more about the Blind Kitchen or to purchase some tools for yourself, the website address is theblindkitchen.com. You can also contact Chef Deborah Erickson via email at info@theblindkitchen.com. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Tech Tips is available online at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.